Well, thanks ever so much for joining us for this week's Tech Law 10 podcast. I'm Jonathan Armstrong, speaking to you from a sunny UK. And Eric, you're over there in San Francisco.
Sunny here too.
Excellent. And you've been worrying about DDoS attacks, denial of service attacks. What's on your mind?
That's true. Well, you know, at this point in time, distributed denial of service attacks are not mere hypothetical possibilities. They've actually been bringing down, Jonathan, websites for quite some time. And most recently, in your neck of the woods, two men in Britain have been sent to prison for their DDoS attacks perpetrated on PayPal and other sites, as reported in the press. Press articles have noted that six people were arrested in connection with these attacks. Three of them ultimately were charged under your UK's Computer Misuse Act of 1990. Of these three, the head of the group received a prison sentence of 18 months. Another was sentenced to 7 months in jail, and the third was sentenced to 6 months in jail, which then was suspended for 2 years while he was ordered to serve 100 hours of community service. And tell me if this accords with your knowledge too, but this reportedly marks the first instance in which DDoS perpetrators actually have been sentenced to in prison in Britain. You know, these attacks can wreak havoc on commercial websites, so you know it's important to address them. Press reports note that PayPal informed the court in this particular instance that it had suffered $5.5 million in damages for these attacks alone. So conceivably, if this is a trend, we're going to see others, Jonathan, going to jail for such violations. Now, one thing to keep in mind, it's not always easy to track down these particular attackers. The attacks, which bombard websites with innumerable packets of information to the point of shutting down the sites, can be launched directly, but they can also be routed through innocent, what we call zombie sites, making it more difficult to uncover the original sources of the attacks. So we no longer live in an era, Jonathan, in which there's little knowledge about the possibility of these attacks, and clearly companies and other entities should take protective measures to do their best to secure their websites from the attacks. And perhaps they should also try to safeguard their sites from being used as zombie launching pads for attacks on other sites. So, Jonathan, I'll kick this back to you, given this is really sort of in your backyard, and I'd be interested in your thoughts and your perspectives on this.
Yeah, no, I think it's a very interesting topic, certainly. And it's very timely here in the UK, as the UK government's call for evidence on the European Union's new cyber directive is just about to close. So, and your example really illustrates the complexities here. Of course, the European Union is saying that the answer to a lot of this is legislation. But as you rightly say, this is the UK has prosecuted these offences under laws that go back some considerable time, more than 20 years prior to the internet. So my view is legislation isn't necessarily the problem. We got these convictions. We got these convictions under legislation, by the way, it's a relatively interesting story, that came onto the statute book to protect the email account prior to email, a system called Prestel, of Prince Philip, the Queen's husband. And that's why the legislation got on the statute book in the UK probably prior to any country in the world almost, because we cared about the privacy of Prince Philip's electronic messages. But that aside, it seems to me that we already have laws that mandate businesses to take security measures against either being the subject of a denial of service attack themselves or being used as zombies. I mean, for example, in the last couple of months, the UK Information Commissioner has taken enforcement action against a medical practice after some emails were hacked into. Only 175 emails taken in that case email addresses, but the ICO still took action. And of course, we've got this case which is subject to appeal, I believe, against Sony for the PlayStation hack. Again, a very similar type of attack, from what I understand, £250,000 fine to Sony for not taking adequate measures to protect its system and its network. So I think the legislation's there, in my view, and is in place, and is it being enforced? Perhaps not more, perhaps not as much as it should be, but for the reasons you've said, these perpetrators are very hard to find. They deliberately cover their tracks by using zombies to attack, or they use social engineering. For example, some of the denial of service attacks on governments, for example, are using social engineering to get a lot of people together in countries A, B, and C to attack country D. Of course, many of these attacks are state-sponsored as well. That's the uncomfortable truth we've talked about earlier. So I guess my view is that law enforcement has to have more resources to stop the bad actors on the internet. But I'm not sure the answer is, as the European Commission proposes, to increase the legislative burden on corporations. You know, they already have legal responsibility. We need to empower the good guys to get the bad guys and resource them to do that, rather than turn the good guys into bad guys.
Well, very important topic, and I'm sure we'll be talking about these issues in the future. This is Eric Sinrod in San Francisco with Duane Morris, obviously joined by my esteemed colleague, Jonathan Armstrong. You can find us on the internet in all the various places we've discussed before, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. My email address is ejsinrod@duanemorris.com, and all that remains is for Jonathan, as always, to bring it on home.
Thank you very much. I'm JP Armstrong at DuaneMorris.com. And all that remains is to, as Eric said, thank you again for listening, and we'll speak to you soon. Take care.